From KCRW, I'm Evan Kleiman, and you're listening to Good Food. There was a period in LA not too long ago when a few children demanded that food and cooking become a central part of their creative lives, alongside or instead of playing in a band with friends or music lessons or sports. One youngster in particular sprang up in such an unusual way here that the media focused on him, wondering who was this kid, Flynn McGarry, and how did his passion become so focused so young? Even though Flynn, now 24, is a chef living in New York, people still wonder. He's written his story, which is an example of creativity, discipline, and parental support, in a children's book titled This Is Not a Cookbook. Hi, Flynn.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's really great to have you on. What was it that made you turn to food as an alternate interest? Do you remember the thing that first sparked your interest, and how old were you?
You know, it's interesting because there wasn't necessarily like a specific sort of like aha moment, but I think just like literally through like, you know, watching the Food Network and kind of being or seeing like little glimpses of food, I kind of started to find myself listening a little bit harder, or, you know, I wouldn't flip the channel so quickly. And then once I kind of just started to think like, oh, you know, this is kind of interesting to me in a way, and spend a little time, you know, researching and kind of going to bookstores and looking at cookbooks and, you know, going on the internet and watching cooking tutorials, I kind of like, that's what sort of like ignited the bug. You know, at the time when I like first got into cooking, it was just kind of one of a myriad of things that I was interested in at the time. You know, it was kind of just one thing along 20 and ended up just sort of being the one that really kind of stuck.
And what's really fascinating to me is that it wasn't the kind of food made in like really homey restaurants that sort of drove your super focus for a while. It was very particular kind of cooking, like the cooking of the French Laundry, Alinea, and Noma. Had you ever been taken to any of them as a child, or was your fascination purely from books?
No, I had never been at a restaurant even similar to that as a child. To me, it was sort of like, what was so interesting about it was that I had no clue what it was. You know, it all looked different and it sounded different. And I had really like no lexicon of knowledge about cooking like that. Just being a person who eats food, you can understand some sort of home cooked ingredients, you know, that most families are sort of familiar with. But I was looking at these restaurants that were making dishes and ingredients and using equipment that I had never even heard of, you know, and I also, you know, kind of just as a kid was always obsessed with the highest level of something. You know, it was like if I wanted to do any kind of sport or I wanted to play music, my heroes and the people that I wanted to sort of emulate were always, you know, it was the Beatles and it was like David Beckham. It was like people who, you know, most people sort of look up to. But for me, it was sort of like if I can't be as good as them, I don't want to do it. And so I think that's what also kind of drove me towards like, okay, in food, who are the people who are sort of all the way at the top, and that's who I want to inspire my interest.
And how old were you when this thought first sort of came upon you?
This all kind of happened when I was 10.
So describe how your family home went through a series of transformations as this passion evolved.
Yes, I mean, like I mentioned, it's like as you start to learn about these different kinds of ways of cooking and different styles of restaurants, it needs a different sort of setting. And for me, I wanted it to, like, I really wanted a place to create that wasn't, you know, just where my family also would make breakfast and make lunch and dinner. And so I kind of, through the help of my dad, assembled this very incredibly makeshift kitchen in my bedroom that, you know, at the time was very normal in my head, kind of have come to learn that it's quite strange. But, you know, really ended up just being, you know, an amalgamation of a few tables, like two induction burners, a little toaster, and had like a little blender and, you know, the kind of like fake cheap sous vide machine. And it was really just a space where I could have the room to like put whatever I wanted on a plate and do it in sort of complete silence. The way that, you know, if you're painting or making music or whatever, it's like, you know, you sort of need a studio. And I sort of needed my own little area to practice.
Where was your bed?
I had a little twin bed that I would fold up and push into the closet when I would start cooking, and then I would fold it down at night.
So as you sort of walked this path and you started cooking more and more food, your family were the people that you experimented on, correct? They were your diners.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually the circle grew and you started doing dinners for people that weren't just family and friends, but maybe people that were strangers. And in essence, you were doing pop-ups. When did this happen and what kind of pushed you to do that? And how did you get your parents on board?
That all sort of started to happen when I was like 13, 14, somewhere around there. You know, it really just kind of happened naturally. As a cook, I wanted to cook for people and as many people as possible and different people and, you know, new people. And so as I sort of kept doing that, I like started to gain people that wanted to come back and tell their friends about it and their friends and their friends. So it ended up happening sort of very casually. You know, there wasn't much convincing sort of going on. You know, for my parents, it really was just kind of like convincing them to like drive me around because I couldn't drive at the time, you know, and help wash a lot of dishes. But they were very, you know, sort of supportive, especially because it was a way that I could kind of start to show what I was doing, which I think is something that they understood is very important in the creative process. You know, if you're just spending all day making something for yourself and you're just only in that little cycle, you can only go so far and you sort of need to perform in a way and show what you've been working on, even if it isn't sort of all the way finished. It kind of helps work out all the bumps and everything. And so I think they were very sort of supportive of looking at it as that. It's like a way for me to just kind of like continue to practice.
Most kids just want to find a group of friends and fit in, but you were definitely walking another path. The second chapter of your book is titled, This Is Not Weird. Talk about conformity and the lack thereof.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had sort of as a child many times found myself in a position of not really relating to my child peers. And, you know, that was kind of what was interesting was when I started cooking it, you know, at first was sort of like, oh, other kids are like, I like cooking too. And then it was a very different kind of cooking. And so, you know, kind of grew the divide more and more, you know, and what I really found in sort of starting a career working in restaurants was a community, you know, of people who I like got along with and had things in common with and could just be friends as well. You know, I became my coworkers and chefs that I worked with became my friends. And, you know, I think it really made me feel, which is something very special about the restaurant industry, is it's very, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie in it. And especially as like a kid, when you're 13 and you're in a place where you're very uncomfortable with yourself, even to find a group of people who are very comfortable in themselves and very sort of welcoming and like, you know, not, there's no real competition. And I mean, there is in a lot of ways, but I was lucky enough to find a group of people who, you know, treated me really nicely and sort of welcomed me into their world.
You say that one of the best ways to inspire creativity is to identify your problems, prejudices, and dislikes, and then use them to create something that brings you joy. And you use an example of how your extreme dislike of beets kind of brought you face to face with critical thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the sort of idea is that beets were something that I always sort of disliked and would be really easy to sort of write them off as something I don't have to think about or try. But instead, sort of the challenge of having to work through that and finding a way to make it not even just enjoyable, but to appreciate this thing that, you know, you once hated for the reasons that You know, you can find little things in it that you're like, oh, this part really works and I really like this. And so, you know, most of the process of sort of discovering how to enjoy a beat, I started applying to kind of anything that was like, instead of just looking at something as like, oh, I ate something and I don't like it. It was kind of like, you know, what don't I like about it? You know, what are aspects about it that I could potentially like? And sort of starting to break that down and having it sort of help inspire me.
I'm so intrigued that you wrote this style of book, which takes a look at creativity and discipline and focus for a children's imprint. I don't think it's just for children, by the way, or for young adults. It's a book that I think many adults would find very useful and inspiring.
To me, I didn't want to write a memoir. I didn't want to write this whole sort of thing about my sort of early cooking phase. This was really an exploration for me of like talking about how I got to the place that I am now, which is not the end, but you know, that 14 year chunk of my life, what were the things that I did that kind of continued to push me further? Because I remember, like, if you would have asked me, and it's funny, I, when I was doing this, would sort of go back in interviews and whatever, people would ask me these questions. Why do you do this? You know, why did you do that? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? And for so long, my answer would always be that if I actually spent time figuring out why I did it, I would just stop doing it, because that sort of gets rid of the fun. And, you know, I kind of felt like I was at a place where I could sort of start to dissect that and put something together that might be helpful to a kid, an adult, you know, kind of anyone who has something that they're excited about and wants to get some idea as to sort of what's going on when you have that sort of burning creative passion.
Well, thank you so much. It's really a lovely, wonderful book. And I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you, Flynn.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Flynn McGarry. His new book for both children and adults is a lovely look at how a youthful passion, creativity, and discipline evolves. It's called This Is Not a Cookbook, A Chef's Creative Process from Imagination to Creation. Coming up, sour tomatoes, cooking cucumbers, and a curry leaf with a waiting list. We'll introduce you to a Bay Area farmer growing elusive ingredients next.